الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, we are now in this Mubarak month of Muharram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid mentions that the Islamic calendar consists of 12 months. Amongst the 12 months, 4 months are sacred months. Those sacred months are Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, 3 consecutive months, and the 4th month being Rajab. In these months, fighting was not permissible, and these months were sacred months. It was a requirement to honor these months. So the month of Muharram, which is the first month of the Islamic calendar, is a blessed and a mubarak. In this month, we know that the 10th of Muharram is also a blessed day. It is the day of Ashura, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba made hijrah to Medina Munawwara. And when they arrived in Medina Munawwara, then they discovered that the Yahud used to fast on the 10th of Muharram. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired regarding it, and it was mentioned that the Yahud, the Jews, they fast on this day because it is this day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Nabi Musa alayhi salam from the tyranny and from the oppression of Fir'aun. And Allah ta'ala drowned the entire army of Fir'aun, and Allah ta'ala destroyed Fir'aun. So out of celebration for Allah ta'ala saving Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroying the army of Fir'aun, the Yahud, the Jews used to fast on this day of Ashura. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter instructed the Sahaba that nahnu ahaqqu wa awla bi Musa minkum, that we are more closer to Nabi Musa alayhi salam than the Jews, than the Yahud. Musa alayhi salam was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gave da'wah towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we follow the teachings, the correct teachings that Nabi Musa alayhi salam had set out. We are closer to him. That which the Jews are worshipping is not what was taught by Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Rather, they have distorted the teachings that were set out. So we are closer to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter taught a very, very important lesson for humanity to come till the day of Qiyamah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after giving instructions of fasting on this day of Ashura, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the advice that khaliful Yahud, don't emulate what the Yahud are doing. Be different to them. Sumu qablahu yawman wa ba'dahu yawman, that fast one day before or fast one day after. That either 9th or the 10th or the 10th of the, or the 11th. But don't just fast on the 10th only. And this is a very, very important lesson, that fasting is an ibadat. Fasting is such a great ibadat that a person, when he fasts, It is such an ibadah that it's only between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not know who is fasting today. Person will continue his day normally and he will carry on what he does for the day. Whatever work he has, whatever his occupation, whatever other tasks he has for the day, he will continue his day normally. Outwardly, a person does not know whether a person is fasting. With other acts of ibadat, a person is performing salah, you will see a person performing salah. Like that other ibadat, you see a person doing it. But fasting, you don't know. If you didn't see him making seri iftar, you won't know he's fasting. The entire day he's spending, such is his taluk and his sincerity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he's keeping that fast. But even in this act of ibadat, where a person is rewarded, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that do not be like the Jews. They are fasting on the day. We have to be different to them, fast one day before or one day after. So friends and elders, can we imagine how much more cautious we have to be and how much more wrong it is that a person emulates the Yahud in acts that are not acts of worship, that are not acts of ibadat in our daily lives. Unfortunately, today we find that in our hearts we express hatred for them, and we show our disliking for their actions, and definitely it is something that is natural. We dislike their actions that they are doing. They are causing such harms to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But inwardly, we are following them and emulating in whatever actions that they do. How they spend their free time, how they have their functions, how they do in their sports and in their entertainment and in their amusements. We are following them, we are emulating them. We are doing it how they are doing it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith mentions that man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. That person who emulates a nation, who follows how a nation does, then may Allah protect us, may Allah save us. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected with them, he will be amongst them. So this is a very, very important lesson that we derive from this day of Ashura, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us that not to follow the Yahud and not to be like how they carry out their actions in their ways and in their lifestyle and in their pastimes and their amusements, etc. So to bring about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in that is our success and in that is our salvation. That if we have to come onto the mold of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. That person who loves the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the reward for it? Ana ma'i fil jannah. That person who has the true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will enjoy the companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat. So that is what you have to practice upon, and that is how to bring in our lives the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Together with that, friends and elders, this month of Muharram, there is also another great virtue, it being the first month of the Islamic calendar. During the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a need arose to establish an Islamic calendar, and mashwara was made. Many, many suggestions were given. Amongst them was to begin the Islamic calendar at the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst the suggestions was to use the Battle of Badr as the start of the Islamic calendar. Amongst the suggestion was that Fath Makkah, the occasion when Makkah was conquered, such a momentous occasion that after years of difficulty and hardship, thereafter Makkah was conquered. But the suggestion that was accepted was to use the Hijrah. Why? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Such great reward Allah Ta'ala has given that person who makes Hijrah and makes his qurbani and sacrifice And the Sahaba, Ridwanullah ta'ala al-Majma'in, what great sacrifice they made to undertake this journey of hijrah. Many a times a person makes hijrah, and more often than not this hijrah is made for the purpose of dunya. But even when he's making this hijrah, he has time to arrange and make his preparations for that place that he is going to. But here, through because of the difficulty and the hardship that the Sahaba endured, that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endured in Makkah al-Mukarramah, that they had to leave everything and make this journey. And such difficulty and hardship that even when Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, then he turns around and addresses the city and he says, this, you are a city that is most beloved to me. Had it not been your inhabitants causing this difficulty, I would have never have left you. But this hijrah was taken, this great journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many, many lessons that we derive from the hijrah. Time does not permit us to go into all the details. But one of the great lessons that we learned from this journey of hijrah was the companionship that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ready to undertake this journey, Hazrat Aisha mentions that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Hazrat Abu Bakr. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Hazrat Abu Bakr, I never knew that a person could cry out of joy. Such was the, till I saw my beloved father, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, crying when he heard the news that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has chosen him to accompany him on this Mubarak journey. That was the companionship that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And every step of this journey, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu showed his close companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they went to the cave, then before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the cave, Hazrat Abu Bakr tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wait. And Hazrat Abu Bakr goes inside and cleans out that cave. There mustn't be anything to harm the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were some holes there. He covered up all those holes. And thereafter there was one hole remaining. And he did not have anything to cover up that hole. He took some cloths and he covered those holes. So when he goes inside that cave, he asks Rasulullah to go inside first. And thereafter the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters the cave. And that one hole that was not covered, he takes his heel and he covers that hole. And thereafter, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam places his Mubarak head on the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he falls asleep in that condition. Whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asleep on the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, a scorpion comes and bites the heel of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But such was his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he endured that pain. And eventually that pain became so much that tears began flowing down his cheeks. And one drop of tear fell onto the Mubarak cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awakens and asks Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that, oh Abu Bakr, what is the matter? So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentions that something has bitten me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his Mubarak saliva and applies it on the heel of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he became cured from that wound. So this was the companionship that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had and Hazrat Abu Bakr had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even when they were undertaking the journey to Madinah Munawwara, Hazrat Abu Bakr sometimes used to stand in front, sometimes to the right, sometimes to the left, sometimes behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if any enemy came to attack, then they should rather attack him than harm the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we learn the companionship of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the close bond that he had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this journey of hijrah. And friends and elders, in this month of Muharram also, we learn about the martyrdom of the second greatest person of this ummah. And that was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar, you might have heard the incident already, lengthy incident. He became shaheed on the first of Muharram. He was stabbed towards the end of Zulhijjah and he left this temporary world on the first of Muharram. And he also had friendship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was addressing the Sahaba on the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter he describes a palace in Jannah. And he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared this palace in Jannah. I saw it in my dream. This palace in Jannah, that it has 500 doors. And every door is a hura'in. And thereafter he mentions that this palace in Jannah could either be for a Nabi, and he looks toward the Mubarak Qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or this palace in Jannah could be for a Siddiq, and he looks towards the Qabr of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or it could be for a Shaheed. But thereafter he says that how can I attain this Shahadat whilst I am in Madinah Munawwara? It was the desire of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu to attain Shahadat. But people used to ask him, he used to make the dua, Allahumma rizukni shahadatan fi sabilik, waj'al mawti bi baladi habibik, that, O Allah, make me a shaheed in your path, and bless me with death in the Mubarak city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people used to ask him, then how is it possible? Because according to their understanding, a person will become a shaheed, a person will attain martyrdom on the battlefield, which is fought out of the city. So you should say that the same Allah that brought me from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara will give me shahadat in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was his wish and his desire. Someone came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and they asked him that who is greater in rank? Is it you or is it Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu began crying bitterly. And thereafter he mentions that despite his maqam and his status, he mentions that the one day and the one night in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is far greater than the entire life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He was referring to that one day, that one night that he was referring to was that night that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. And that the day he was referring to was after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, and a certain group had turned murtad, they turned disbelievers, and they began negating zakat. So Hazrat Abu Bakr then waged war against them, and Hazrat Umar at that time felt that they should not be waging jihad against them. So Hazrat Abu Bakr addresses Hazrat Umar then and tells him that ajabbarun fil jahiliya khawarun fil Islam. That in the days of Jahila you were a very, very fearsome person. Now you have become a soft and timid person. أَيَنْقُصُ الدِّينُ وَأَنَا حَيِّ. Can the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala die whilst I'm alive? And thereafter he says that even if they prevent paying one string, they hold it back in paying when it is due for them to pay it in zakat. If they hold it back, that too I will wage war against them. So thereafter Hazrat Umar then realized that Allah Ta'ala has opened up the heart of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he gives reference to these two, this one day and one night in the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So coming back to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that he also had this companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whilst after Hazrat Umar then had passed away, and whilst the Sahaba, different Sahaba were coming and making dua for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, so Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu also comes. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas mentions that we were standing around the janazah of Hazrat Umar and we were making dua and we were very sorrowful and grieving regarding the loss of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So nothing disturbed me except a pat on my shoulder. And I look behind and see Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Ali mentions that how fortunate is he regarding the companionship that he spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he tells him one thing, that he said, I knew that he will enjoy the companionship and he will enjoy this honor of being buried with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because how many times in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did I hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that I entered and with me was Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. I left, I departed, I exited, And with me was Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And when I looked at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you also find that many, many places in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that with me was Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He also mentions that I would not like to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the good deeds of any other person, except like with the good deeds of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Such was the esteem that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had, and the respect that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu had for Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So friends and elders, these are the two lessons that we learned from this month of Muharram and from this occasion of Hijrah, that one is the companionship that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and together with that, the close companionship that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu had with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Friends and elders, this was the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of qurbani, a lot of sacrifice was given. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he's undertaking this journey, he secures his wealth, he buries it in a certain place, and thereafter he undertakes this journey of Hijrah. And many, many sahaba, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, they were stopped when they were undertaking this journey. Firstly, they were forcefully removed from Makkah al-Mukarramah when they make Hijrah to Medina. And secondly, even in the journey, the kuffar did not allow them to go peacefully. So Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu encounters a group of kuffar enemies that stopped him from making Hijrah. So he addresses them and he says that, you know well, I'm a master marksman, I have all these arrows, you are stopping my way to go to Madina Munawwara. Either I will use each and every arrow that I have against you, killing each and every one of you and fighting you. And when that is finished, I will take out my sword and I will fight with you. That is the one option you have. Or the second option we have is that I will tell you where I left my wealth. I've buried my wealth in Makkah al-Mukarramah. I will direct you to where I've buried it. And you may go and usurp, take my wealth, it is all yours. Take it for yourself. But allow me safe passage to Madina Munawwara. That was his desire, to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they decided and they agreed, okay, we will go and take your wealth, and we will allow you safe passage to Madina Munawwara. When Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu anhu reaches Madina and goes in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, O Suhaib, what a great transaction you have done. Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding this in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. That amongst mankind are those who have sold themselves, who have sold themselves to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a great lesson that we have to learn from this lesson of Hijrat, to sacrifice ourselves for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Akhiri Hazrat Suhaib tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah, nobody else knows about it. Definitely it was Jibreel that informed you. So Allah Ta'ala sends down the ayat of the Quran that he sacrificed his wealth. Unfortunately, may Allah protect us and save us. Today, in our acquirement of this dunya and our hankering and the chasing of the dunya, we sell our deen and we forego our deen and we forego the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us and save us all. So friends and elders, this was the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are also instructed to make hijrah. And this hijrah is every moment of our life. One is that hijrah that was made where the sahaba left everything. They left Makkah al-Mukarramah and they made hijrah to Madina Munawwara. But we also have one hijrah that we can make. وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَعْنَهَ اللَّهُ عَنْ وَالْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ الْخَطَايَا وَالذُّنُوبَ. That to make hijrah, to leave a life, to turn away from that life of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go into a life of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To leave out that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. To abstain from those commands which we are commanded to abstain from. To leave out a life of falling into our nafs and our desires and bring about a life that has the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our qurbani and that is our sacrifice. That at the time of Fajr, when that muazzin is calling out, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, the salah is better than your sleep. And then our nafs tells us to continue sleeping. And like that throughout the day, for the other salah also, the temptations will come to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the hijrah you have to make. That to leave out all that and submit ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That salah is better than our sleep at the time of Fajr. Salah is better than our businesses. The attractions will come in whatever form, in whatever shape, but we have to move it aside and make hijrat to the masjid and go and submit ourselves in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Rabbul Izzat gives us the understanding of the lessons of hijrat and the lessons, the qurbanis and sacrifice that the sahaba made, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to follow in the footsteps of the sahaba to bring about the true love of the sahaba ikram into our lives. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala grant the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hidayat and remove the sufferings of the ummah throughout the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.